Buster's the one breaking news today. Let's go out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line and talk with our ESPN MLB insider, Buster Olney. And now this week, starting this week, it's all thanks to our friends over at Lucky's Trailer Sales of and Peterbilt of Vermont, home to New England's largest selection of trailers, LuckysTrailers.com. Buster, how are you?
I'm doing great. I played kickball against Lucky growing up. Okay, across the street from the old four-room Randolph Center schoolhouse. So, absolutely, he's been a neighbor for a long time. But I'm doing great, and boy, it's been a slow winter. When I came on last week, and you still think I was on vacation.
That's true.
Buster, you reported today that the best offer right now, and I think it is the only offer made to Manny Machado, was 7 years, $175 million. It comes from the White Sox. What's your first reaction to that number and length?
Well, first off, it's not. I can't tell you that it's the best offer. It's only the offer from the Chicago White Sox. The question is, where will that stand across the landscape of teams? And we don't know. I don't know the conversations that Manny's representative, Dan Lozano, has been having with the Phillies. I can't tell you exactly where the Yankees are conceptually on the idea of a contract or any potential mystery team, which, you know, that's what I was told today, that there's a mystery team involved. It just tells you where the White Sox are on it, and I, you know, reported back right after the winter meetings that the White Sox feeling was, yeah, they want Machado. Yes, they like Harper, but they also don't necessarily want to go nutso to do it. And a 7-year, $175 million offer certainly reflects that. And maybe their hope is that the market turns out to be a lot slower for Machado than we all thought, and he plays back to them. I will tell you, I do wonder if, in fact, that they're not, if in fact that there are not a lot of competing offers involved with Machado, if the Yankees would then get in at that range. In other words, they may be slow playing it like the White Sox are slow playing it, where initially it could be that the Machado camp is indicating they want a lot of money, a lot more money than they're willing to give up. So what we got was one slice of the negotiations going on for Manny Machado, but I don't have the full context of what actually is out there for him.
Is that Manny Machado on your phone calling in?
It was an agent, probably wanting to call and talk about the Manny Machado offer.
No, but how cool must that be? Buster gets all these phone calls. It's like, awesome. Oh, it's some superstar baseball player, as if it's nothing.
Hey,
it's
Buster, what about the owners, though? What's going on here? I'm not saying they're getting together, but that's collusion. But are the owners thinking to themselves, these days of 7 years and $250 million and $300 million, those days are long gone with the price contracts and stuff like that? We're not doing that anymore.
Yeah, and 25 years ago, what you heard a lot, and there were cases proven to have happened, was that there was collusion with the owners. And there are definitely some agents who whisper about that now, but I will tell you this, there are a lot more agents who are using the word granular, which is what you're seeing teams with their analysis now are really digging in deep. And I'll give you, in an effort to make the best possible deals to get the best possible value, with all these teams loaded with really smart guys in front offices, inspired by the book Moneyball, I think it's having a dramatic effect on how teams bid on players. Mm-hmm. For example, back in the day, when I say that would be like 5-6 years ago, an agent could call a team on a veteran player who was unsigned this time of year, mid-January, and say, hey, can he have a non-roster invite to spring training, give him $1 million? And the teams would go, okay, that's fine. Well, now the teams are going so deeply into their analysis and looking to unearth every nickel of value that they're saying, well, no, actually, on the major league side, if he the contract, he's not getting $1 million. We want him at $825. So they're negotiating to that end, and it's having a real impact on particular markets. And you know, for example, the outfielders, it's pretty clear now. Teams are saying, we're not paying for outfielders who are over $30 million. Over 30 years old. We're not going to pay for someone who's not versatile. We're not going to play for someone who doesn't have great defense. Which is why, to this point, think about this: 10 years ago, if someone had said only two outfielders, 30 years old or older, have gotten multi-year deals. Mm. They're getting guys like Adam Jones, respected veteran. He might wind up having to take like a $3 or $4 million deal. Certainly a lot less than what the union might have expected a decade ago.
With Machado's numbers continuing to drop, does that mean the Yankees might become a player again?
I definitely think we should be on the lookout for that, for the lightning strike, the sudden tweet, the sudden breaking news that that Machado and the Yankees are reengaged. You know, I know that when the Yankees agreed to terms with Troy Tulowitzki and then subsequently signed DJ LeMahieu to a two-year deal, their feeling was at that time, you know what, we're not really talking to Machado. It doesn't look like it's going to happen. The talks are pretty much dormant at that point and maybe even dead. But if, in fact, the numbers are coming back into the range that the Yankees are comfortable with, yeah, absolutely they would go in. Now, somebody might say, well, what would that mean for a Troy Tulowitzki now after you've signed him, or what it mean for other players? That wouldn't matter. Troy Tulowitzki's making minimum wage, and if you want the player and you're comfortable with the asking price, or the price range, then I think the Yankees would get involved.
Buster Olney of ESPN joins us every Wednesday on The Huddle, thanks to Lucky's Trailer Sales. And Peterbilt of Vermont, stop by the Colchester location and see Caleb in Trailer Sales with over 6 years of experience in the industry, or go online, luckystrailers.com. Buster, as far as the Yankees go, they're not done. Even if they are or not done with Machado, they're looking at relievers. Adam Ottavino, yeah, we keep hearing about. Where are they in the reliever market?
I think they're playing that market the way I just described teams are playing the outfield market. There's so many unsigned relievers. I didn't check the numbers before I came on with you guys, but it's something in the range of 50, okay?
Yeah. Wow.
And I can't tell you how many teams I've talked to where I'll ask, hey, what are you guys up to? Well, we're kind of monitoring things. And so as the numbers cycle downward, as the team gets more desperate, teams get more desperate, and players get more desperate, I think that their feeling is that the salary demands will come down. And let me tell you, I think we learned the last few years that there is a lot of pressure, not only on the players, but also the teams to get these guys into camp, because so many guys who wait until well into spring training or after the start of the regular season to sign, they really struggle. You guys remember that year when Steven Drew and Kenny Morales held out in free agency till after the start of the new year? They were both terrible. Last spring you saw guys like Lance Lynn, Logan Morrison, sign late in camp. They didn't play very well. As one agent said to me this week, if you wait to sign a player in mid-camp because they're behind in their preparation, it's like buying fool's gold. And so I think you are going to see at some point a crazy tsunami of transactions where you're seeing 5, 6, 7 guys come off a day, because they're like 150 unsigned guys right now.
Buster, I have to ask you, are you a Seinfeld fan?
Not really. I mean, I really enjoyed the show, but that was when I was a baseball beat writer. I can't tell you I had a lot of time to watch.
Okay, so there's a clip in Seinfeld where George is trying to become the assistant to the general manager, and he goes,
right,
I think I found out a way for us to get Bonds and Griffey and really not have to give up that much.
Right,
That's what it's like working with Arnie, because today Arnie has the Red Sox trading for Mike Trout.
Well, the reason we brought this up is because, you know, we hear that Mike Trout's not going to re-up after his 2 years on his contract, right? So maybe he'll go to Philadelphia or not. I'm like, if I'm Boston, why not go get him now? You got a bunch of young players. Get him now. Put him out there with Mookie Betts. Try to become as valuable as the Yankees. Work on your brand. The Yankees are $400 million brand. Why not be? You've won your 4 World Series. Take it to the next step. In case Mookie leaves, you've got Trout. Am I crazy or what?
Yes.
Well, first off, yeah. And first off, I have not individually, for myself, confirmed that there are no talks that are going to happen between Trout and the Angels.
Right.
I know that they love him. I don't think that how much money they would pay him is an issue at all. I think they would give him a blank check. That's how good he is. That's how much they love the guy. And it would be extremely difficult for the Angels to think about trading a guy who's going to be in the inner circle Hall of Famers. At some point, we'll probably look at the Hall of Fame, we'll say Willie Mays, Babe Ruth, Hank Aaron, and Mike Trout. Like, inner circle Hall of Famer. He's that good. He's that important in baseball history. But I don't think they're close to being at that point. It's funny because I got a phone call just 30 seconds before I came on with you guys from a great Angel source, and that was one of the questions I was going to ask him, you know, sort of where are you on those things. But it's many miles away, and, yeah, I think even separate of this issue, you're definitely crazy.
And you couldn't ask that Angels guy because your priorities are straight. You came on with us.
So. I'm calling it back. Believe me, I got speed dial as soon as I'm done with you guys.
There you go.
So what are you hearing about Bryce Harper? Is there any movement at all?
It's a classic Scott Boras negotiation. He's just waiting and waiting and waiting and hoping that somebody hits the number and demonstrates a willingness to sign in his range. I do wonder if this inherent competition that's going on between Manny Machado's agent and Bryce Harper's agent might be slowing things down. You know, Dan Lozano wants the bigger contract. Scott Boras wants the bigger contract. They may not want to be the first guy across the line. The funny thing is that the Phillies are right in the middle of that, okay? I don't think that either player has a lot of bidders, but the Phillies are involved in both to the point that one agent I talked to today said definitely sees the Phillies playing the two off against each other. In other words, hey, we've got 200 and I'm just pulling numbers out of my head. You know, we've got a $250 million contract. Who wants it? And if the markets have slowed down enough, maybe it would be smart for one of them to jump at it. I don't know. But I do think that at this point for Harper, in all likelihood, he's either going to sign with the Phillies or go back to Washington.
Buster, I want to ask you kind of along the lines of what we've talked about all interview long. The Machado numbers are lower than we thought. It's a slower offseason. You've got all these relievers out there.
Yeah.
Is this embarrassing for baseball that you have so many teams not willing to take a chance on marquee players or players at least that can help contribute to a team? Or is it smart for the owners to right the wrongs that they made a decade ago of overpaying guys?
Boy, I think it's probably inevitable once teams started to educate themselves more.
Yeah.
As I say, some agents who are struggling will whisper the collusion word. Other agents will say, no, these guys are a lot better than they used to be. Like, they drill down. They have teams of analysts looking at the numbers, looking at the dollars, what makes sense. So that's part of how we get here. I also think, guys, it's bad for baseball. I mean, look, we just had a winter meetings where almost nothing happened when we were there, and you had all these reporters and folks gathered to, you know, have this big conversation around baseball, and what everyone was saying was nothing's happening. That's what we're saying now. And look, we talked about how we feel like the players got killed in the last collective bargaining negotiations. It seemed like a deal that really has worked out well for the owners. There is such a thing as having too good of a deal. And it's part of the reason why I wish that the MLB and the union would get back together right now to address some of this, because as one agent points out rightly, what you're seeing a lot of is non-competitive behavior being reinforced and being rewarded for things like, I mean, we've talked about how teams have held young players back in the beginning of regular seasons to start their service time clock later than they could, so they can get an extra year before free agency and to back up arbitration. You're seeing teams tank. You're seeing teams doing what they are now, which is to wait and wait and wait for prices to bottom out. Somehow, some way, they all need to get into a room and figure this out, because it's not a positive thing when you got idiots like me going on day after day after day saying, yeah, not a lot's happening. Yeah. That's not a great conversation for baseball.
Buster Olney of ESPN joining us, thanks to Lucky's Trailer Sales and Peterbilt of Vermont, LuckysTrailers.com. Buster, let's get a couple quick hitters before we get out of here.
Yeah.
Which team are you most interested in seeing this spring training?
Oh, well, I think the Phillies, in the end, are going to be the destination point for all reporters like myself, where we're going to go, and I think they'll wind up with Machado or with Bryce Harper. In fact, I bet the family farm back in Vermont on Philadelphia radio that 2 years ago, and I'm feeling good about that at this point. But I also think the Red Sox, and I tell you why, because we have not heard a lot about sort of the physical state of some of these players. We don't know what Chris Sale's like. We don't know what David Price is like physically after really extending themselves in the last postseason. And so I think the first time that Chris Sale takes a mound in an exhibition game, the radar guns are going to be up. We talked about that during the playoffs, and it's going to continue right into this spring.
Buster, what am I missing about the Oklahoma quarterback, Kyler Murray? It seems like baseball is bending over backwards to get this guy to pick baseball, and they said they would change the pay scale. What exactly about, is he that good, or did they want him that bad? What am I missing here, Buster?
Well, he potentially could be that good, but I got to tell you, especially after talking with some people this week, there are limits on that, because you guys know that the rate of players even first-round draft picks who translate into high-end players at the big league level is not like it is in football.
Right.
It's not as much of a sure thing. Personally, like I, you know, my son didn't want to play football. I wouldn't have let him play. Mm. I think it's too dangerous. I worry about concussions and those sort of things. And if Kyler Murray were my son or if he were a friend of mine, I'd tell him, go play baseball. You know, you can make plenty of money over there. But you know what? That might it might just be that football is his passion.
Yeah.
And that's really what he wants to play. And that's because of the nature of the sport and the build up and the juice you get on game day, maybe that's worth it to him to bypass a sport, let's face it, that's slower moving than the NFL is.
Buster, as we get ready for a foot or two of snow and a highs of minus 10 for the weekend, I'm already dreaming of landing at Sky Harbor Airport in Phoenix in about 65 days and sitting there watching baseball. Are you more of an Arizona guy or Florida when it comes to spring training?
Well, you can't argue about which place is easier because Arizona, you're always, if you're in Phoenix, you're within an hour of basically every team out in Arizona, whereas in Florida, you have the weird back road to Dunedin off Douglas Street, and you got to remember which way to go. And, you know, the teams are all spread out on different sides of the state. It's a four-hour drive. If traffic's not there, some gator's not crossing the road. but I've spent so much time in Florida for spring training that I tend to think of myself more as a Florida guy. I tell you what, Yuma, Arizona, when I covered the Padres back in the day, that was kind of fun.
Yeah.
Buster, we'll get you out of here on this. You're coming up here. You're going to be hanging out with us 10 days from today. It's the Lake Monsters Winter Warmer. Tell us again why you're coming to town January 26th.
Yeah, it's the Lake Monsters have put this together, Vermont Community Foundation, to raise money for them. Tickets are being sold. You can go to the Lake Monsters website. I tweeted something out earlier today. A link on that on my Twitter account, Buster_@ESPN. And, it's a great conversation. Tim Neverett, who, of course, a longtime broadcaster for the Red Sox, is moving on to the Dodgers. He's going to be there. Galen Carr, who went to high school with me. He lives in Burlington. He worked for the Red Sox as a scout. Now he's a front office official for the Los Angeles Dodgers. He's going to be there. We'll all be able to talk a lot of baseball.
All right, Buster, you're the best. We always appreciate it. Love you. And we'll speak to you next week, buddy.
All right. I'm calling the Angels.
I love it.